This time I'd like to call to order a special meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. It is Tuesday, February 21st. The time is 4:41 p.m. And our purpose here today is to talk about the proposed updates to the township website. This time we have Trustee D'Antonio, Trustee Goodman, and myself, Trustee Gebhardt, present. So we have a quorum. And we have Leslie Strader, our Communications Director, and Thomas...
Gene.
Thomas Gene.
Yep.
Very good. Thomas is going to walk us through this process. So,
begin. Without further ado, well, thank you, guys. Again, my name is Thomas Gene. I'm with Revise Websites. We're located in Troy, Michigan. We've built websites for hundreds of municipalities, counties, sheriff's departments, all over the country. Obviously, the Midwest is going to be our main bread and butter. So, what we're going to do, essentially what the whole project is we are going to redesign your entire website from the ground up. And our purpose today and tomorrow is just to get as much feedback as possible on what you guys like, what you don't like, improvements you think can be made, and then we're going to, within reason, make all those improvements for you. So, we'll start with your old website, find out what you like or don't like or want to hold over, and then move into some sites we've launched recently and show you different things we can do for you. So this is the current website. You have your rotating photo slider here. All of your information's up top and on the home page and to the left. So it's all there. It's a lot. What do you guys think of this?
I like the recent addition of the scrolling pictures. That's very nice. The rest of it can be scrapped and redone so that it is much more user-friendly so that people can find information. So whatever is the easiest for people to find, most user-friendly, quick response, I'm for, whatever that may be.
Any other thoughts?
I like the headers across the top with the drop-downs because that minimizes what's there but allows you to see what's beneath it. What I really dislike about this is when I try to look at it on my phone, it, because of the three columns, it's extremely hard to see. And even stretching it out, it's difficult to navigate and see where you're at. So it's not user-friendly to a mobile phone at all.
Yes, I would agree with that. And part of our process is building it to adapt to every size screen. No matter what size screen ever comes, it will adapt. The icons will be big. You won't have to zoom in with your fingers. And that's huge now because about 53% of your traffic is going to come from a smartphone or tablet. Could be a little more, could be a little less here. But that's about what's going to come. So right now, if someone comes to the site on a phone, they're probably upset or quickly getting off of it. So we'll definitely fix that problem for you.
Yeah, it's just very busy. And I like the headings up at the top, too. They just don't seem like they make total sense all the time, or they're very user-friendly. I like the photographs. Anytime we can incorporate photographs, that's good. And how do we minimize clicks to get to certain pages, certain information?
In other words, drilling down.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to go four and five layers to
exactly
find what you're looking for.
Right. And I think the other thing is, you know, is there a tendency to put too much information out there? Or do you hide it? I don't want to say hide it, but do you put it behind so that stuff that people want is easily accessible? We have a tendency of wanting to put a lot of information out there. And I'm not saying it's all bad. It's just how do we manage that type of information. The other thing is our analytics. I'm really interested in who, not necessarily what the name of the person is or address, but how many hits are we getting on certain pages, certain pieces of information? Is it this coming from you know, multiple people? Is it one person coming there all the time? And I don't know how you protect the, you know, like I said, I don't want to know if Leslie is going as a person. Leslie herself is going to a certain, but is it that same person going over and over and over to that same information, or are there 13 different people that are going to a certain page? So the analytics to me are important. Who's using it? What are they using it for? How long are they staying on certain pages? And what is the information that they're looking for?
I think the other thing with our website is we have a tendency to leave something there for a while, maybe a long while. And unless new, fresh content goes on there periodically, people lose interest. They don't come back. And so the main page minimally should be updated regularly. So there should be an easy way to do that and still, you know, maintain the integrity of the page.
Absolutely. Yeah, and back to your point about content, if it does get stale, people will leave your site and probably never come back until they have to buy that burn permit next year or whatever it might be. So content is king, and ease of uploading the content is going to help get you there. And let me just quickly show you how in the future people will be able to do that.
For the individuals listening to this meeting on tape, what we have in front of us are samples of through the computer that are being visually displayed, so that is what we're commenting on. A follow-up question to Carl with regard to analytics. Will we be able to identify any of the users to the website?
You will not.
Good. I'm not interested in that.
You can't.
No, I'm not either.
But
I want to know how many people.
Yeah, so you'll know how many people, you'll know what regions they're coming from. So are they coming from Russia, or are they coming from here, mm-hmm. or are they coming maybe from Michigan or surrounding areas? You'll know things like what device they're coming on, mm-hmm. How long they're staying, what pages they're going on, but you'll never know their name by any means. So as for editing, so what we're showing right now is how your staff will edit the website. I've logged into a demo site here. This is Morristown, Tennessee, as an example. And rather than go to the traditional, like back-end dashboard that doesn't look anything like the website, your staff will be looking at the website, and all their edits that will be made right on the screen. So you see some different edit buttons around the site. If I go to, say, clerk's office, for example, I get to my clerk's office homepage, and then any edits I want to make on this page, we click edit center area, and it will bring up our edit window, ideally.
A question, Leslie. Who controls the edits to our webpage at the moment?
There's a handful of people right now on staff that feel comfortable making edits to the website. Primarily it's myself, Craig Skeel, and Joe Schaefer, and then maybe Mike Riley as well, and police. But right now all those people.
So anybody can make any of those individuals or request of those individuals, web adjustments could be made?
Yes.
There's not a review, approval, control process that Paul, the administrator, or somebody determines what is appropriate and what is not appropriate to put on?
Not that I'm aware of this time.
Now, within the system, there can be that built in where, say, a new employee you allow to make edits, but you want Paul or someone else to approve it. If someone were to make an edit and hit save, it would email Paul or multiple people. They would log in, check it, approve it, and then it would go live to the public.
I think that we need some capability of channeling approval to before posting. I think that's that's good, you know. So I don't think that anybody should have direct opportunity to do that without some kind of review and approval content up the chain. And the only person I can think of would be Paul. That seems to be the logical person.
That what? Would approve?
Would approve.
Yeah, I would say between Leslie and Paul.
I would hope that there's more than one person that could approve, because if there's illness, vacation, whatever, there should be a secondary, a backup.
But we should have some kind of procedure slash process involved rather than at will, so to speak.
Yep, I agree.
And any of those situations can all be built in, meaning you could have five people that can click approve. You could have it so after 6 hours it goes to someone else until someone approves it. There's a multitude of architectures we can build.
Can you manage it by page such that, for example, the police could look at their page and approve it and only do their page, and zoning could only do their page?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. And then you can have different levels as well. So if you want the police chief to have access to all police pages, but you want the deputies to have just one page, mm-hmm. we can also limit the options each of them have. So right now, these options up top, I can use, but say, for example, you wanted to eliminate this quarter of them for whatever reason. You don't want someone posting photos. You could limit that, too. So as granular as you want to get.
Leslie, I'll, as a suggestion, I'll leave it up to Leslie and to Paul to come up with an idea or a recommendation or procedure of an approval process, a tree of how to – who and how to do that for us. Okay.
So let's now move into some actual websites we've built or we're working on. We'll start here. This is Springfield Township, Michigan. Their site looked very similar to yours before. A lot of content on the homepage. And when we look at home pages like this, we see it as like the middle of a book that you open. You don't know where you're at. You don't know what you're even looking at. What we try to advise our clients to do is make their home page more of that like book cover, where you can easily digest what you're seeing, find out where you want to go, and there's multiple ways to get there. So in this case, you have your traditional drop-downs. You also have down here some topics that, for whatever reason, they wanted to highlight: documents and forms, agendas and minutes, online services. All of that can change as well. So if you find that no one really cares about agendas and minutes, for whatever reason, you could swap that out and make it new resident info, whatever that might be. All of that can change.
So you can correct me if I got the details wrong a little bit, but so we're using these examples as examples, but they custom build every site for every client. So ours will not be a template.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Do you have, Thomas, for instance, Springfield, analytics on where are people going on these kind of sites? So you have, we may have a better idea of different, especially townships, what are the interests, so you can highlight those a little more, or?
Yeah, so we have general rules about where people are going, and then we can find out exactly where people are going on your website currently. That might not be a good representation of where they want to go, it might just be the first thing they get to.
Sure.
But there are certain things that usually in every municipality are important. Parks and Rec, employment is a really big one. Police department is usually in the top five, agendas and minutes, and then usually public works or utility bills, something like that, water bills.
So if they're paying the water
bill. If they're paying it, or if they're looking, some type of licensure type of thing.
Sure.
Those five things, and then there tends to be a pretty steep drop-off after that. But if there's something you would like to promote or push, there's ways we can do that and not just make people go to where they've always gone. So
You mentioned having links to utilities. We don't do the utilities.
Right.
There are other areas.
Okay.
But one of the questions is, if you had a link, say, to Delco Water, would you open a new page and then retain the Genoa Township page underneath, or would it replace our page?
That's kind of a preference that you can choose us, ask us to make. We can do it either way.
Okay. My preference would be to open a separate tab so they, when they close that Delco or whomever that site is, that utility, our page remains on top.
Okay.
Okay.
Agree.
All right, so as for the design of this particular site, of the homepage itself, is there anything you particularly like or dislike? Is it too image heavy? Is that image too big for your liking, or is that just about right? What do you guys think?
It's clean, it's crisp, and the drop downs. The only thing I would suggest would be a button around each of the drop downs, each of the tabs. So that it looks more like a button. A lot of people have a lot of different levels of experiences with websites, and so if those could be, a color around them, more like a button, so that they're individualized.
Okay.
But it, I think it gets you to where. When you're hitting the drop downs, then it's feeding into the kind of things that's scattered all over our homepage, mm-hmm. all over our homepage.
Right.
Can you hover over the "I want to"? I want to
sure.
see what falls under that. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
The other thing I would say is, I really like the images. The Springfield Charter Township, a little small maybe.
The actual text?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like it overloading the image either, but
Doesn't seem to fit right there to me.
Yeah, it's I don't know how the eye moves around pictures. There's a whole theory about that. But,
right.
Yeah, that would be the only thing I would say is how you address that.
You could make it larger and make it more of a column down the left side
mm-hmm.
to cover more of the picture.
I was just going to say that. Move it to the left and take it from the top
sure.
to the bottom.
Yeah.
Just stretch
right.
it
just
down.
Just stretch it down.
Yeah.
You
know,
yep.
Grab the corner and stretch.
Okay. Let me find one that might be a little bit better here. Okay. Okay, so this is Columbia Heights, Minnesota. They actually don't have a top navigation. It's right here and at the bottom. That is something that pushes the envelope a little bit, so it might not necessarily be recommended in your case, but we definitely know where they're at with Columbia Heights.
Yeah.
Here, there's buttons that are their top five things that they wanted to push or that people wanted. And then below that, of course, you have your traditional menus.
I like that staff directory. I'd like to be able to get to a staff directory. I don't think that's something that I've found on our website.
Right.
That would be very helpful. Address, email, names, titles. That would be something to be good for us.
Yep. So, and what's nice about the staff directory, we'll set up for you. All of these categories up top are all searchable. So if I just know your first name, I don't know what department you're in. I just know I talked to Joe today. He said he worked at the township.
Mm-hmm.
I can type that in, and it will start narrowing down for me.
Hmm. Okay.
So I type in Katie, and I see there's Katie. She's a clerk. All her info. So that'll be there for you. Can put your picture in there too if you want.
So we will have a search capability
yes.
box.
Yep.
Great.
For Here's a city calendar, footer.
So what you're doing now, Thomas, you're just scrolling up as opposed to clicking. I mean, those aren't separate pages.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, we're scrolling right now. Yeah. Yep.
That's all pretty much, it's like all part of the homepage, three pages of the homepage, so to speak, three screens of the homepage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not sure that people would know to screen to scroll down to find that stuff below.
Yeah, right. And we wondered that for a while as well, and we did multiple studies, and I did a meeting in Largo, Florida recently where there was probably 40 people there, all older, and I asked every one of them, would you think this website scrolls? Every one of them said yes. So
what would be the indicator that it would scroll?
So in this case, there's not that much of an indicator, right, other than the right. But we can put indicators in there, like down arrows that kind of animate a little bit, bounce, so to speak. Also, what we make sure to do is on the first fold, as we say, right here, what you're seeing now, they can get to all their vital information. Beneath that is going to be maybe the more not needed information. Now, this is city news, of course, but most people aren't coming. Their number one thing is not going to be city news most of the time. So that's going to be in the second fold, and then the calendar might be in the third fold. So we try to prioritize it, where the farther you go down, the less necessary it is. But it's a balancing thing as well.
The purposes of having the Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff on the site, how do residents or people use that? I mean, what's the functionality?
So this in particular allows a person on any page to share that page. So I say, for example, I go to the meeting minutes and agendas page, and I want to tell my friends I'm going to the meeting tonight. I click Facebook. It will actually connect with my personal Facebook if I'm logged in, or I can log in, and then I can share it. That's something you don't have to have. We have clients all the time that say, remove it. And it can be, I would say, put it in, let us put it in, and then if you don't like it for whatever reason, we can remove it.
Pinterest?
Yeah, Pinterest.
That's a unique one to be.
Yeah, that's, you could live without that one, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, aside from that, up top you have links that go directly to your social media. So if the township does have a Facebook page, it would take you directly there. Of course, it's going to want you to log in, but it would take you directly there.
So can you put something that would say calendar discreetly on a page like this, so that if you hit that, it would automatically take you to the bottom of the page to the calendar?
Yep.
And can you then at the bottom of the page put back to top so people don't have to scroll back up?
Yep.
Sometimes those are nice. When I look at this, I personally like the links across the top better than I do the bottom.
Yeah.
I think that they're easier to see initially and to sort through visually.
And I actually don't mind the Columbia Heights being kind of front and center with the background being the photographs.
Right.
I mean, the other one where the photographs were very prominent, they were very good.
Doing it this way gives it a consistency.
Right.
Some clients are better than others in using photos. So if you had nothing there but the photo, your website kind of lives and dies by your photos. So they can be great and make your website look awesome. They could be horrible and look bad.
Well, instead of Columbia Heights, there could be the Genoa Township logo and the photo then be secondary behind that as an overlay.
Right, right. Let me show you one more here.
Is that their Rediscover the Heights? Is that their slogan? Is that a section of Columbia Heights?
Is that
referring to Columbia Heights?
That's referring to Columbia Heights. That's kind of their slogan. And it can change. If tomorrow they want to remove it, they can. Or change it, they can.
It's pretty overpowering.
It can be, yep. Now, this is one we're working on. It's not completely live yet, but it's Glencoe, Illinois. So they have the top navigation here.
Sure.
So the logo starts here, and then if you make any movement, it kind of shoots up to the top. As you see, there's a little arrow here that says more. Takes you down the site. Over to the right, it's a little pop-up box you can use for anything. Here's some quick links, news and announcements, or headlines. So your events, and then areas of interest. Any thoughts here?
This one seems very busy. I do like the box that appeared in the lower right to encourage people to sign up for the newsletters, emails, whatever we have.
Okay. Underwhelming? All right, let me pull up another one here.
Can you guys see okay, or do you want me to turn the light off?
It's going to be an Independence Township, Michigan. A little bit more traditional where you don't have the full width photo, but you do have the kind of half width photo with a background photo. Top navigation there. Quick links to the right. Here's your news, your calendar, and that's it. More of a traditional kind of a layout there.
For some reason, first impression, I don't strike me positively.
Okay.
I think it's the two photographs for some, I don't know why, but
kind of. Yeah, the overview or the overlay of one picture on top of another picture surrounded by.
Yeah.
Makes me want to know what the picture behind is.
Right.
You know, which distracts from the content.
But by only having the partial page like it is, you can definitely tell that there's more below if you scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't all, you can see that there's more to come by the way that it's cut off. So you know you have to scroll on this particular one.
Right. Well, and the last one had a little more with an arrow.
It did. It did have that.
Okay. This here is Seguin, Texas. Top navigation there. There's a static photo in the background, so it doesn't. There's not another one. It's just one photo. Mm-hmm. Here's quick links to the right, which is, again, going to be their top five things that they feel should be there. And then a little bit of scrolling. Not too much, though.
So what would be the, so that's under resident. What would be under visitors? That's, okay, so a convention visitors bureau. Okay. Not sure how much we would have in the year for that.
Would there be a want for that, or?
I don't know. I mean, it you'd almost seem like you would cover that under community, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we don't have a visitors bureau.
Right.
We have golf courses, but they're not township golf courses.
We don't have a Main Street.
Don't have a Main Street. We don't have a River Heritage Tour. So, yeah, I...
We don't have a, per se, attraction that's a...
Right, we're not a destination.
A zoo. We don't have the zoo here.
Yeah.
Or something like that that would be... a regional or a statewide draw.
I also find the colors on this one tend to wash out They're all very much the same, even though we call it in kind of the aquamarine green. You know, just I think this one, my eye just goes all over. Mm-hmm. Nothing calls my attention to it.
Okay.
In the previous websites, were the pictures local pictures of the township, or were they photoshopped?
Local.
Local?
Yeah. More than 95% of all her clients have actual photos.
Okay.
And I believe we have a ton already for here. So we do kind of dress them up a little bit with Photoshop just to make them look better, but yeah.
They're not purchased photos.
They're not purchased. We can purchase them. Some
right.
Some communities say, you know what, we have nothing pretty here. Just give us some mountains or.
Right.
So. Okay. Find.
What's under accountability and transparency? Click that button over there. What do you get?
It's like a lawyer wrote it. Finance, of course, FOIAs.
I'm not sure that the title would work for us, but some of the content might. I'm not sure the title works.
Right. Okay.
I think anytime you have to ask what the title means, you shouldn't be using that one.
I agree. And one problem we do have is what we do is take all of your content and put it into the new site with a recommended site map, as we call it. So the names of the pages, where they're at, and what content is there. Most of our clients operate their website like they operate internal staff, where most people don't really know what the clerk does or the certain functions. So we transform it into more resident-focused, service-focused, and then hope that you don't revert back to old habits.
Outside focus.
Right.
Versus inter. Then that should be, I hope that that's one of our goals or accomplishments, that it is outside-focused.
Right.
So are your websites ADA compliant for the visually impaired? Can a screen reader take care of these? Can
yes.
it read them?
Township again, big image in the middle, drop downs, quick links to the right. Here's your alert area.
I kind of like that little box for things that, you know, no delay in the trash or
yeah.
offices closed today.
Yeah.
So that's one style of alert that we do. You can have, there's multiple that we do, and you can have both. There's another one up top. It's kind of more in your face. Seems more important, probably. They can click read more and read as much as they want.
That particular one didn't catch my eye as much as the square.
The box.
Even
right.
though it was bigger,
uh-huh.
even though it's got a red semi-flashing button, it did not catch my eye because you've got basically three compartments
right.
on there.
Right.
And if I'm not looking for that, but where you have a singular image and you've got this singular box, then it kind of stood out a little bit more.
This
right.
flashing alert at the top reminds me of the kinds of things you get when you pull up a web page and they want you to click here to take you to an ad or, you know,
right.
some scam site.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. Of course, some like to overuse the blinking alert for things that aren't that level of alert necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you.
Yeah, like there might be a second, like a police alert looks one way, but our regular you know, trash isn't delayed, be another.
All right. It's a township in New Jersey. Now, this is more of a traditional style of a look. Your traditional drop-downs up top, quick links to the right, smaller photo, a search, and then three columns, news, quick links, calendar.
Thomas, do you think, I don't mean to interrupt this, your review of this particular site, but could you, in a moment, go through some of the modules that we can plug in to get to some of the functionality on the subpages that they'd be interested to know about?
So how do the, so like the need to know on the right-hand side tie in with how do I? Are they similar, the same, different?
They're probably going to be different in this case. How do I is more of a catch-all for a resident to just simply say, how do I, you know, apply for blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Need to know, that could be anything that the township decides it is.
Okay.
So in this case, it looks like reporting outages.
That's information, more information based.
Right.
Thomas, will you go up to the top for just a minute and hover over the how do I and now apply for. I like the way those drop downs continue to appear.
Okay.
Because that way, then you don't necessarily have to go to the next page. You can search for, I need a parade permit. And yeah, otherwise you go, well, it's not on this page, let me go back. And
right, mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's very helpful from a user standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just taking that as a given.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that was a wrong assumption, but yes, I agree, Colin.
Okay, so some other features that are going to be included in the website. Anything that's time sensitive, we can open and close automatically. So for bids and RFPs, if you release them publicly, you set a date where it opens and it closes automatically. You have as many documents attached as you want. You can have them automatically emailed to a preset vendor list. Anything on the website can be signed up to be notified on through phone and email. And this is what the interface would look like. You type in your email, then you type in your phone number if you want, and then you choose what you want to be updated on. The choices that the user will have are totally up to you. It can be every page on the website. It can be just a select few.
So agendas and minutes, so receive updates on trustee meetings. So you click that.
So we'll sign in first, I'll type in my email. And then you choose which category it is. You should be able to.
So that just, I guess the question I had was, so if we have a trustee meeting coming, special trustee meeting, if that is posted on the website, it automatically notifies? How does that person, what's the mechanism that that person gets?
Sure. So when a person, when someone on staff is updating or adding an agenda,
mm-hmm.
at the top of the page they're editing, which could be an agenda page, all right, so at the top of the page they're editing, they have this.
So, okay.
We default it on no. If they click yes and then click save, everyone gets updated that has signed up and opted in.
Okay.
And, of course, I can always opt out at any time with every message that gets sent.
But you could also set that default to yes, and they'd have to unclick to go no.
Right. You could do that. Yep.
Now, how many – you've done hundreds of these?
Yeah.
In the governmental entity world? How many are .govs versus .coms?
Probably at least half.
Are they using the .gov or .com, or are they using the .org?
If they're not using the .gov, it's probably even split between .com and .org.
So 25% would be .com, 25% would be .org, 50%
roughly.
Would be .gov?
Roughly, yeah.
What is the appropriate?
If you can, .gov.
Right.
Now, a lot of our clients will have the .gov as their main, and then they still have .com and .org that just go right into that same one.
Well, they're just so that they're capturing all variations.
Right, right.
Because I'm a proponent of going to the .gov.
Yeah. Could you give us, I know this might be a more our issue than yours, but we were curious about your expertise and what it would take to do that switch over to a .gov. And
yeah, we can actually kind of do it for you if you give us the okay.
It's a $400 fee.
Yeah.
It is a $400 fee, but and you get it because it's .gov. It comes from the, I can't think of the federal organization off the top of my head, but it is through the federal government that they do the assigning,
yep.
And then there's some better security and so on and so forth. It's $400 a year.
Right.
So that's the cost.
So once you get that .gov domain, then you can go ahead and forward a .com, .org to that automatically.
Yep.
But we'd still have to pay to maintain those others, right?
Right, and typically okay. Those will be $5 a year, $10
yeah.
bucks a year.
They're not outrageous.
Like right.
So what's the advantage of .gov? I mean, other than we are a government entity, but I mean.
It's got the panache behind it. The authority, I guess. There's a lot of cities and municipalities that have a .com, but it's actually like a tourist organization or someone trying to get you to buy a hotel or rent a hotel. The .gov, you know you're not getting that. That's pretty much it.
And there's some security features, as I understand it, built in to the .gov.
Right.
Because it's a limited... It's less hackable, if that's the right word.
Okay. I don't think any less hackable anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can get into
okay.
everybody.
Thanks.
But it'd be a good way to transition, I believe, from this GenoaTWP.com, and you know, you just post on that new website address. I don't even know that I'd link it. You know.
I think you probably need a forward, at least in the short term, for people that have that bookmarked and are going to say, what happened to your web page?
Well, it would pop up, and then it'd say, go to. Whatever is the most efficient. But then, it wouldn't need to be maimed perpetually.
Then wouldn't we have to change everyone's email address?
Yes.
You wouldn't have to. I mean, you'd probably want to if you're making that switch.
Yeah.
Show them the module where residents can input concerns or issues that need resolved and our tracking of that.
Sure. Okay. So this allows people to submit on a map view a request. It could be a pothole, it could be roadkill. Be a street light out, whatever they want to do. The way they would do it is they'd go to the area of the website that we've posted it, wherever you want it. They'd click report an issue. They would create an account, continue as a guest, or sign in with an account they've already used. So we'll continue as a guest. And then they take this cursor, drop it anywhere within the township, or they can input the address manually. Or if they're on a device, they can share their location. So if I'm walking down the road, I see a pothole, I can share it, it automatically will input it. I then choose the issue I want to report, so in this case, streets and sidewalks. And then based on the issue I report, you choose which questions they have to answer. In this case, they're asking what issue, where's the location, which is kind of redundant, describe the issue, who are you, a whole bunch of info. They can upload a photo of it, or they can snap one from their phone. They can keep it anonymous to the public if they want, and then they can click report. As soon as they click that, either one or multiple people will get an email. They can then log in and respond to the resident back and forth until the issue is resolved.
Is that a popular, how many of your hundreds have used this feature?
Well, we just launched it about a year ago. I'd say so far maybe 10. Some just are so small they don't need it. Some are so big they have an internal process that they just will not change for the next 30 years. But there's similar systems that a lot of other municipalities are using as well. So
I see that. I see the concept as being good. I see navigating the map as a little bit time consuming and difficult. I mean,
yep.
I think the concept of reporting a concern is good, but let's keep it short and simple. You know, where's it at? What's the issue? Press a button. Done.
Right.
So it would just be that stuff you'd fill in.
Yeah, but even, you know, I don't know that we care whose the name is. It's the issue that's important.
Well, this was a follow-up.
So that's kind of the all-inclusive everything.
Yeah.
You know, you get as much info as you want, but, of course, we do have the just straight form that they fill out. Of course.
What's the concept of a guest versus an account? Isn't it easier just to check in? I mean, why would I have an account?
Because then you will receive the emails back from the township. If you don't have an account, that's not guaranteed to happen.
So even if I include my email in the information I'm providing and request a response back,
you could do that too. Yeah, we could set it up that way.
Because I would envision if you have an account, you have a password.
Yep.
And
right. Yeah. Yeah. It can. There are those concerns definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Here is a much more simple version.
Oh, yeah.
So they select the department or the issue, type in the needed information, hit submit, they're done. Very simple.
Is this retained anywhere so that we
yes.
could see how many pothole reports we got? Okay.
Yep.
So there are stats on it.
Right. Right. In this system here, you can report it down to the address. You can do date ranges. There's all types of different reports where this one here is just a little more basic.
Interesting. I like that concept.
Yep.
And that really does help with the two-way communication.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does the person reporting receive anything back that says your request has been submitted?
Yes.
Okay.
It can send them to a custom page that will tell them that.
Okay.
Yep.
A few other items here for you.
Yeah, they might also be interested in seeing the, like, shelter house reservation kind of module that you have.
Sure.
Payment, online payments.
All right, so this is just a little bit older of a site. What a resident can do is reserve any shelter house, campsite, whatever you want them to reserve. This is how this particular one looks. They would choose the park. There'd be some amenities, a couple photos, a map if they want. And then they choose which site they want to reserve. They click reserve. That will then take them to a map view, or sorry, calendar view. They would see which dates are available, which ones are not. You can shut it down for the whole winter time to where they can't. They click it, accept the terms, whatever they might be. And then from there, if you require payment or don't, whatever happens from there, we'll take care of it.
So you take a credit card, you set up a PayPal account or a credit card?
Yeah, we work with different vendors. It could be PayPal, it could be municipal payments. It's really just what's going to be best for you.
If you want to accept online payments, is that something I should be looking into now, is what vendor we'd be using? Like, is that on my side of the...
No, we can recommend vendors to you. Depending on how deep you want to go into it, I always recommend start with PayPal. It's the easiest for municipalities at the beginning, and then we can move into different ones in the future if we need to.
Is the plan to for Revise to host this on their website, or their, excuse me, on their servers?
Yes.
Yep. So you're all secured, locked down,
yep.
Firewalls, et cetera?
Yep.
How often do you do maintenance, and how long is the system down and inaccessible?
Sure. So we do maintenance 4 times per year. It comes to you automatically. If there's any downtime, it's done during non-peak hours, so like Saturday morning at 3 a.m., if it's down, it's going to be down less than maybe 5 minutes. If it's down longer than 99, if your website's not up longer than 99.999%, we will actually refund you the money for that period of time. It never happens, really. I don't recall it ever happening since I've been with the company.
Thomas will be glad to hear this, but as part of, you know, the selection of this vendor, I called around to a lot of communities that use them, and one of them specifically said, we've been a client for like 8 to 10 years, and it's been down 5 minutes in that entire time period. So they were very pleased with that part of the service, especially.
And another thing, I don't necessarily promote this, but you can actually leave us at any time for any reason. No questions asked. We will... We'll give you the latest update to the technology. You own everything, and we give you tech support until the day your website's live with someone else. So we're very happy to do that.
So I see you're going to a police name. Maybe I'm getting ahead of you. Is each page similar in the way it looks? So if you went to the fire department for this, Pelican or wherever it is,
yep,
would it be similar?
In most cases, yes. Some fire departments want their own look and feel. Some different departments, Parks and Rec, sometimes want their own look and feel. But in general, yes, you're going to have a department-style homepage for every department. Mm-hmm. And that just keeps it consistent.
Right.
But what's nice about it is all of the features that are included can be broken down to the department level. So here we have frequently asked questions that are just for the police department.
Yes.
And all of their answers are going to be right there.
So then on the left-hand side there, you could have... links, say, to Delaware County or something like that as well?
Yep, absolutely.
For example, I suppose the 6 offenders, that would go to the county website.
Let's find
because
out.
We don't have one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would go automatically.
Yeah. So it would list any in our township, but it would be on from the county.
Via the county site. That would be where we'd open the new window.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we go back to service for just a second? And
sure.
Leslie may know the answer to this because she's the one that would have to deal with it. But if there is a problem, do you have folks available to answer questions 24/7 or certain hours? How does that work?
Yep. So on the phone, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. If you call in, You should expect that we know you by name, as long as we've talked to you a few times before. 24 hours, we have an online customer portal where, depending on the issue, you can set an urgency level, so crisis or normal, and we guarantee response times based on that urgency level. What else do we have? support@revise.com. If you send an email there, it goes to every tech support person on staff. Retraining at any time. So if you get 10 new staff members or 5, you give us a call. We do a training on the spot for you. We're there for you. That's why our clients stay with us, and that's why we're comfortable telling them you can leave us at any time. We just give them great service, and they tend to stay with us for as long as needed.
Thank you.
We can also do translation to different languages if you want. This is using Google Translate. It's not going to be perfect by any means, but it can be implemented if you need it. Some other quick things to show you. For the calendar, this is a particular style that's popular. There's different styles we can build, but what's nice about it is you'll see the full month. You click on one day, and you'll see the events of that day and maybe the next day. You click all events, and you see the entire month there. You can have multiple calendars, unlimited, and they all roll up to the master calendar as well. Library has no events this month. Let's see if we can find anything else. There we go. So planning and building, they have a few events here.
How about electronic forums? We talked about that a little bit during the vendor interviews.
Sorry. I see iCal on there, so you can download this calendar to your phone or to your Outlook account or.
Yep.
Could we stream, video stream meetings live?
We could.
Is that expensive? Is that an additional cost?
The cameras, depending on where you get them, how you set that up, can be expensive.
But I meant, is that included in our fee, in our programming, in our hosting?
Yep.
So we just have to buy the additional audio visual equipment?
Right.
What would something like that cost?
I've seen cities spend $30,000 on it. I've seen some spend probably $1,500 to $2,000. It's a big range. I'm no expert on it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Applications, maybe that's where you're going as far as being able to complete and submit online.
So we can take any applications you have, digitize them. This is a job application, for example. They e-sign it at the bottom, they hit submit, it gets sent to a back-end database that you can then look through. You can see date, any categories you want out of here, you can narrow it down by. You can send automated emails to people like you've been rejected, or you've been hired, coming for an interview, whatever that might be.
You can attach a resume, PDF or Word?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you go back up to work experience, wherever that was? Oh, there we go. Employment.
Sorry.
Nope, that's desired. Former employers.
There you go.
Can you add additional spaces in there? So does it expand if the person has worked at more than 3 places?
It does not at this time, but I don't see that as something we can't do.
Or it's attach an extra sheet.
Right, we can put in fields
there. I'm
fine
with that. I just wanted to clarify.
Maybe past like 3 or 4, they're just piling on a little too much there. So yeah, any application, any form, we can do this too. It just depends on how you want it done. We can also take the actual physical piece of paper, scan it, and make that fillable and then submittable. So if it's a state form or something that can't be done like this, we can do it that way. It's really up to you. So.
I was just going to say that we have about 20 minutes left, so I want to make sure that each of the trustees have had an opportunity to discuss any other issues that you kind of maybe had thought about before we jumped into the all the features.
No, this has really been very good, Thomas.
Just gets me more excited.
Yeah, this, I think you may have to hold us back a little bit. We'll want everything.
But, as long as that March 1 date for implementation is good.
March 1.
2018.
Yeah, 2018. Right, there you go. Many multiple. Yeah, I mean, having a chance to go through the survey, I think is going to be good. I mean, you know, surveys are surveys, but it gives us some good information. I think the session you're going to have with the residents will be helpful. I've seen a lot of very good things. I mean, I walk before we run.
Right.
I mean, going anything you've shown us is, in my opinion, a big improvement over what we have.
Right.
And I think we're in good hands. I think.
Thank you.
Now, when we go live, and we walk for a while, we walk for 3 months, we walk for 6 months, and then we find out we don't like these features, we want to delete these features, we want to add these features. A big deal?
Nope. We can do it.
Okay.
Sometimes we recommend that, especially for things that might change your processes or things you might want to change your process around, like that map view of reporting issues. Probably not something you want to implement right away, but maybe a year from now you're thinking that's the way you want to go. We can do that.
So we don't have to be definitive that we're locked in. For and make, oh, geez, this is going to be forever.
Right.
We can go ahead and walk for a while and then jog and then run.
I think, too, as we get stats from this, we're going to be able to see what people are looking at and what they're not looking at. And maybe we'll get rid of some of those things that are having one or two people every 6 months look at it. And we may get requests from residents that say, where's this? And that's our opportunity to add something and make it better as we go along.
Right.
More responsive.
Yep. Yeah, and I would say the mindset of not needing to make it perfect day one is the best way to go, because then you do allow yourself some feedback. Also, it's going to make it go a lot smoother and faster. It's always going to be a work in progress, and we're going to be there to assist you. Now, the first next thing that you'll see from us is going to be a design concept. And let me just show you what the process will kind of look like. So tomorrow we're speaking with a revised designer who's going to call in while we're meeting. And they are going to provide you with an initial design concept probably anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks from now. It's going to come in a form of a picture, just a picture of what the site will look like. It will not work or function. It'll just be a picture. You can tell us to go as many rounds of changes as you want us to go. You can tell us anything you want to change. So, for example, the logo is too big, or the color is completely wrong, make it pink, or whatever it might be. What we will do is actually, if you tell us to make a change that we think will hurt you, in the long run, we will tell you. So if you can, try to err on the side of just going with our recommendation. And at the end, before you go live, if you're still in that mindset of a change you want to make, just tell us and we'll ultimately make it. It's your site. So that's the next thing you'll see is an initial concept. We'll want your feedback, of course, because you folks are the ones who could destroy it if we don't give you feedback at the beginning or buy-in at the beginning. So And then...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See.
Yeah, we're always doing some new stuff there, so.
So when you do the storyboards, basically, for us to look at, do we come back and review those as a group again, or do you send us a link and we all go home and play with, you know, the pictures and see? How does that review work?
Yep, so we have a customer, like an online portal, project
okay.
portal, that it'll be sent through, and it's going to be your decision on who reviews it, but... What a lot of our clients will do is they'll just share this link mm-hmm. with everyone who could potentially destroy the project. Get all of their feedback to one person, and that one person then gives us one list of changes
okay.
to be made. Some of those changes might conflict with each other, and then that's where we just make a best decision.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend at least maybe once meeting as a group to get all that information together, but it's not necessary
sure.
by any means.
Okay.
And then once you get final approval, that's really the last bit of anything we need from you until right before we go live with the website. So. Right. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how content migration normally works out.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to be doing that, or do I assign people from departments, or you guys do it?
So what we'll do is we're going to provide you with an Excel spreadsheet of our recommendation of the page names, where they're at, what content is in there, and then you'll review it. Tell us yes or no, or make changes to it. I would say unless you see any glaring errors with it, just say yes. From that, we then migrated in using best practices. What a big mistake a lot of our clients, some of our clients will make is that they'll take this Excel spreadsheet with 600 pages on it. They'll distribute it to everyone. They'll spend 6 months going back and forth amongst each other when if they would have just said yes, they would have been fine. So check it for glaring errors. Give us the okay. And then once it's developed and migrated, before it goes live, you'll be able to make changes anyway. So you could essentially just say, revise, go for it, and you'll be happy. I can almost guarantee it. Not completely guarantee it, but almost.
So, Thomas, we're asking, you're going into a meeting with our residents soon. We've had a survey done. You've talked with us. So you'll put something together. You'll give it to us. Is there a need or a recommendation relative to at what point do we say, okay, public, what do you think? Or is that when we go live, we kind of walk, see how people respond? I mean, you get to a point where, you know, at some point you have to say, all right, we're done. And
yeah, there's two opportunities for that. I would say pick one of them. The first opportunity is going to be the first design concept we give to you, put it out for public review, get their feedback, and then let us make the decisions on what's what we should change.
So when you say public review, are you saying have a meeting?
I would say don't have a meeting. That might just get it way too intense.
Okay.
I would say we can put a survey online with the link to what they have, and then just get their feedback.
Okay.
If there is something really glaring, they will find it and they'll let us know.
Okay.
The other opportunity to do that is going to be after it's developed and before go live.
See,
that's really up to you.
I'm more in favor of shortening that time cycle.
Yeah.
You have the input of the trustees, you have the input of the staff, you're going to have the input of some community members, and we make a decision, and we go.
Yep.
I mean, I don't see another reason to put out a test, so to speak, and solicit input. I mean, we don't solicit input when we put out our first version of a website. We don't do it when we put out an agenda or when we do various things. So we put it out there. I like the idea, though, of kind of, hey, this is our new website. What do you think? Get a little survey, check the box, like or don't like.
Right.
Simple.
Right.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
And then we can get that feedback as we go and adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we could beat this thing forever to death,
yep,
because there's always going to be something that somebody wants, somebody doesn't want, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that we leave it in the, you know, the hands of our director of communication with oversight from the board and the administrator, and we go. You know, we take all the input that we can,
mm-hmm,
and we make a decision and we go.
I don't have a problem with that as long as we're all on the same page. And, you know, if we're asking for people's opinion, and, you know, is there, I didn't know how you normally would operate. Is there an expectation that there's going to be a, you know, I don't want to say an approval process, but an input process? I mean, I don't have a problem with let's launch it, see what's out there, see what the reaction is. I just didn't know how it was normally done, what your recommendation would be, or if there was a process.
Normally we actually do much less than what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Normally our process is going to be two or three people, employees of our municipality.
Yep.
They tell us what's important, we build it to that, and then we put it out there.
Sure.
Of course, we're experts in doing that. But what we're doing here, I don't think anyone would be able to say that we're not collecting a massive amount of input.
Yeah.
Our surveys, our meetings, our own independent research, we could potentially be overanalyzing it.
Yeah, so, and I want to avoid that as well.
Right.
Good. All right.
But having said that, once the website does go live, we can put a survey on the website saying, tell us what you think. And that's another opportunity for people to tell you what they think. Any other final thoughts or things you want to make sure we leave with?
Very nice, very impressive.
Thank you.
Okay.
I like the one you did for, slipped my mind, up in Alaska.
Bristol Bay, Alaska.
Yeah, salmon fishing up there.
There we go. Yeah, that's
great.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
that's a case where they said, give us your best.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put really much input into it at all.
They didn't put any handcuffs on you.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Now, sometimes that can be bad, but most of the time we come up with something pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is your business, and I think that we're relying on that expertise. So we want, just because we want to say X, you know, we're looking to you to say, do you really want that?
Doesn't that look like Hoover Reservoir?
Yeah.
I think we need a field trip there to talk to those folks.
I would recommend the first and second week in July.
Right.
One thing I do think we might want to consider is, I know we have a lot of pictures, but it's just kind of like ones I've taken in the 3 months that I've worked here.
Yeah.
We might want to consider having a professional photographer take a few shots that are like, wow, you know,
mm-hmm,
that really show mm-hmm off the township. In a way an amateur photographer can't. So
maybe with a drone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Because you want that visual.
Yeah.
I like the way they have their photos in the back and prominently have the clear logo,
yeah,
so you can see the
yeah
picture through the lettering.
I agree.
Right.
I think that's impressive.
The
down arrow jumping up and down is a little distracting.
Yeah.
But it gets you there.
Uh-huh. It gets you to scroll,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Just to get away from it.
Yeah. Yeah, people always get on us about it moving too much, so that's funny.
That's beautiful. Very nice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if any other things come up that you want us to know, get them to Leslie. If you see a site that you like, if for any reason, let us know, and we can incorporate that into what we're doing. So,
and I'm struggling with the word as far as when you type in Genoa Township, it pops up. What's that called? So if you Google
search
Genoa
engine optimization,
search engine
SEO
optimization. There
yep
you go. Do you work on that, or how does? I know that there's a process as far as how you get to be number one. But
we do. There's coding built in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the traditional type of coding. But now search engine optimization is so much more content-based, like quality of content. So I can't just put Genoa Township on your website 40,000 times and make that go to the top. Mm-hmm. It has to be readable, good content, and that's where we come in.
Okay.
And getting rid of old content as well. So that'll be something to keep an eye on, too, in the future.
Yeah, the analytics have evolved a lot for SEO. It's looking at hits, and I mean, there's all kinds of new dimensions coming into play, rather than just, as you said, word recognition.
Right, it's much smarter now. And
it's much smarter.
Rewards quality rather than
it has to be.
People trying to game the system.
Thomas, so. You just mentioned an interesting point. We've got thousands of pages, probably. So there may be people that bookmarked a page that's way down on the list. What's the best process for getting rid of all those existing underlying pages so that people that may have bookmarked those 5 years ago aren't able to access that page and maybe irrelevant, outdated information?
When we provide our sitemap, we just let it go. Before we migrate it, we just don't even migrate it.
Okay.
Now we can. The rule for us is current year, plus 3 years back. Anything older than that, sayonara. Unless, of course, it's meeting minutes and agendas, you have to keep those.
Sure.
But yeah, 3 years and then remove it. Be done with it.
So that was a good question. So just to ask it again in a different way. So our old page, because I've seen this happen on other employers I've worked with, like some old page, there is a way of still getting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm especially worried about that since we are going to be keeping our SharePoint for internal purposes, and then you guys are kind of like taking over in a separate way. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want people to be able to get to the old stuff.
Right.
How do we prevent that?
I don't know if I have a good answer for that because that is a common occurrence. Depending on the system you're using now is going to be the biggest thing. Some will keep pages on there for years after they're on there. With SharePoint that you're using now, I don't think that'll be a problem, but we can look into it. And if we start seeing old pages come up, we can track them down and try to get rid of them.
And one of the things we did previously where I was employed when I did this was we renamed that page. So we just changed it. We let the owner know that we changed the name of it, and then anybody that had it bookmarked would get a dead link.
Right.
I'll make sure to bring it up to Craig Skeel as well. Mm-hmm. It's on his radar.
All right. Anything else? Anything else, board?
No.
Very not.
It's been a great
Thomas, thank you very much.
Time with us.
Great
job. It.
Appreciate you spending the time with us. Leslie, thank you. Any other business coming before the board? This time?
No.
Hearing none, I will make a motion that we adjourn, and the time is 5:59 p.m. Is there a second?
I will second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion, roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt, yes. We stand adjourned, 5:59 p.m.